And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, inspired. Inspired. Plus, we're going to look at chosen by God. But when? When did that happen? And then a real honest, evaluative Aletheia look at being real. And then we'll close it out with the idea to hang on to humility.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473. See, because Rerun used to say that. Hey, right? But it's funny to say the phone number again, because it's like a rerun. You see what I'm saying? And now Tugboat Todd's dancing in the Master Control studio. I got nothing. 866-K-Praise. Hey, remember, any topic is completely open, partially open, mostly open for conversation, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break, but stand by.
On AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
What if I could tell you when a wildfire was going to happen? I can't, but shouldn't you be ready anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
For the last 10 years, freedom lovers have gathered in Las Vegas for Freedom Fest, the world's largest gathering of free minds. Once again, this year brings together the best thinkers and experts to predict where we're headed in science and technology, geopolitics, the economy, law and religion, and much more. Over 200 speakers and exhibitors, including Steve Forbes, Greg Gutfeld from Fox News, actor William Shatner, author Dinesh D'Souza, and more. This year, John Stossel discusses his fights with Donald Trump, Ted Turner, and other central planners. Also this year, SRN's very own Larry Elder and Michael Medved. It's the largest gathering of free minds. Don't miss it. It's our 10-year anniversary, so join us for Freedom Fest 2017, July 19th through the 22nd at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. Go to freedomfest.com for a full list of speakers, the agenda, and to register. That's freedomfest.com. Use the code REASON100 when you register to save $100 at freedomfest.com.
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Help in any way.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. A shout out to Cameron John, who actually got that wrong when he was doing his introduction. He said, if you don't know what the internet is, they've invented dirt. That's not what I say. What I say is, if you don't know what email is, they've invented dirt. But props to him, because while he tripped and hit his head on the ground, he's still recovering nicely. All right, so a couple things to go at you with that you need to be aware of. This won't take long, pretty much like the sales meeting. Zip, it's over. I do want you to know this segment's brought to you by Sam Rasool. We were just talking about somebody that we saw that had a very similar look to Sam Rasool. It was amazing. But he's not Sam Rasool, because there's only one Sam Rasool. One. And you can reach him by going to thinksam.com. Thinksam.com. You're thinking, you talk about Sam all the time. Well, he's a sponsor of the show. Thinksam.com. You're thinking real estate? You're thinking ThinkSam. You're thinking real estate buying? ThinkSam. Selling? ThinkSam. Considering? ThinkSam. Kicking it around? ThinkSam. How about ThinkSam? Are you getting that yet? Oh, good. You can also call him. But why would you do that when you can go to ThinkSam? Oh, okay. 858-780-1SAM. 858-780-1SAM. Or ThinkSam. Either way. Or ThinkSam. Also, if you want to send somebody in his direction, then Tugboat Todd and I say together, send him to Sam. Or you can just go to ThinkSam.com. Either way, because ThinkSam.com, real estate, word association, stuck in your brain. You can't get rid of it. Ha. Works. There you go. Number two, to tell you about Whitefields Ministries. Steve Wheeler doing a great job. Going to be filling in for me, by the way, in July on a particular show when I have a little bit of a family gathering. And I just want people to recognize that any ministry that takes the gospel to the four corners is a great ministry. And we encourage you to go to whitefields.org, whitefields.org, to hear testimonies from rural pastors all across the world who are getting financial, educational, and inspirational support from Whitefields Ministries. You can call them at 760-846-8610. That's 760-846-8610. We encourage you to pray for Steve and Coral, to pray for their team, pray for their ministry as they reach and touch hundreds and thousands of people's lives, not to mention how they're helping people have clean drinking water so people don't have to use cesspools as their water systems. So that's pretty good. Come on. All right. We got some material we're going to get into. Before I get into it, I want to let you know we've got some authors coming on, not this week, but next week. I believe it's next week. And it has to do with cult shock. And we're going to be talking about cults. And then at the same time, we're going to have a guest on who's really irritating the LGBT. We used to call them the leg butt, but they've added so many numerals and so many alphabets to their name, nobody can follow it anymore. But anyway, it's really going to irritate them. In fact, they're listening to the show right now. Let me just say hi. The bottom line is this. There's a big conference, a hope conference, to help people find restoration in ministry for people who have walked into the lifestyle and been deceived about same-sex relationships. There's a ministry that can help people recover. That's the word I used, recover. If you're not sure about it, put it on tape. Recover. Because Scripture is very clear in Thessalonians, and Scripture is very clear in 1 Thessalonians, that these things that people get stuck in, you can find freedom in through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't say that in a mean way, but what's happening now is the LGBTQLSDUTWXYZ1234, that community, because you can't keep up, that community is now in such a defiant mode. Remember, their whole call is pride. Well, as Christians, you should be like going, yeah, isn't that what brought the whole thing down there with Lucifer? Yes. So the whole idea there is that they can be as prideful as they want. We speak truth. And the truth is Jesus loves people. And no, he doesn't say, I just accept you the way you are, because Jesus' first message and his last message is repent. If he had nothing to repent of, then why would he give that message? Convenient for people to just use the messages they want and not what the scriptures actually say, isn't it? But let's use all the scripture and not some of it, as we know Satan is famous for doing that in Matthew chapter 4. Let's use all of it, not some. That's the way to go about it. And with that in mind, let's talk about inspired. What do we got for a sound on inspired?
You're an inspiration. Inspiration.
I think that was very inspiring. Good job. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11. How about this? And if you don't worry about spelling Ecclesiastes, Todd. I'll bring that in for you. Here is what it says. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. There's a lot of sub-shepherds all over the world, but there's only one chief shepherd. I think people know what I'm talking about. The word goad, do you know what a goad is, by the way? If you're not sure what a goad is, I want to help people know. It's a stick that they used to use to drive or to urge cattle. So when Jesus said to Paul, that the goads are kind of working against you, it's like he's getting inspired or prompted or motivated or stimulated, egged on even to some degree, some would say. And the scripture in Ecclesiastes says, you know what? The words of the wise are like those very goats. They're like goats that kind of push you in the right direction, inspire you in the right direction. See, part of the problem with people who read the Bible is they'll read something in the Bible and they'll see that it's against their character. So what they'll do is they'll abandon reading because they don't want to feel bad. But my friends, that is not the purpose of scripture. The purpose of scripture is to give you direction and wisdom. And if you know you're not walking in it, you don't run away. That's what Adam and Eve did. You run to, not away from, and you run to the Lord and you say, I'm not doing this. And without your help, I'm never going to do this. And I need your help to do this. That's how you approach scripture. You don't look at scripture like somebody's taking a baseball bat and going smack, smack, smack. You look at scripture and going, I'm not there, Lord. I need your help. You know, it's an amazing element because I rarely have a problem with people who struggle with sin, but I have an enormous problem with people who are so arrogant they can't recognize sin. Because I'm sinned out. I'm a massive sinner. I'm major sin person. I've got sin in my life that I don't like because I do not perfectly walk in the spirit of the Lord. But I'm not going to deny that. Why would I deny that? That's what grace is all about. Grace is about coming to the Lord and going, boy, I need some help. It's not about coming to the Lord and going, well, I'm pretty good compared to that guy. That's not what this is about, right? Besides, all you got to do is point to politicians and you'd win that argument every time. Look, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those gals. It's like, that's right. So that's great, but that's not what's going to do it. With God, it's got to be perfection, and only perfection comes through the blood of Jesus, which was shed inappropriately from a legal point of view. Since he never sinned, he never should have died. Because he died, he sued, and he said, everybody that believes in me gets my righteousness. Bam! Gospel in 10 seconds. Here's the bottom line. Scriptures are there to guide us, to encourage us, to urge us, to inspire us. And you'll read scripture and you'll come across things, I promise you, because the word of God is alive. It's living. It has a two-edged sword. It divides between the bone and the marrow. Do you know how close bone and marrow are? It cuts even into that inside of you. And you read it and you go, wow. But you don't sit there and go, wow, drop the book and run out the door. You put the book down, you look up and you say, help. That's the point. And sometimes you'll read scripture and you won't even fall into that process. Sometimes you'll just read scripture and be like, look at Jesus, he touched the leper. You're not even supposed to touch a leper, Jesus, you touched the lepers. Because the Lord does things differently than man thinks things should be done. But that doesn't mean we go around denying what it says because we don't like how it offends our little feelings. Too bad for your feelings. Get over it. Were your feelings hurt when you watched the basketball game yesterday? If you're Cleveland fan, they were probably a little hurt, although I thought LeBron James played a really good game. If you're a Golden State fan, you probably felt really good. If you're a Detroit Pistons fan, you were already depressed because you know your team wasn't going anywhere to start with. Who cares? But you can't let your feelings drown out your brain. right? You don't live and walk the train by your feelings. And the angst that's in society is built on feelings and not truth. In fact, the media is built on angst and not truth right now. Keep aware of that. Stand in the truth. When we come back, we're going to look at three good nails that we can firmly fix with. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
If you missed church recently, research shows you used one of 10 excuses to stay home. This is truth itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. According to a Barna survey, there has been a 7% drop in church attendance since 2004. Taking America as a whole, only 20% of the population attends church services. Why aren't we worshiping? Melinda Fuller at Crosswalk.com came up with 10 excuses that Christians give for missing church. Here they are. The music isn't their style, meaning it's too loud or too old. They aren't the target demographic, so they feel out of place with people older or younger than they are, or not from the same socioeconomic or ethnic group. The service times aren't convenient, somewhat surprising given the many options that are available today from most churches. They don't feel connected, usually because they haven't sought out a small group. They don't like the teaching. Fuller says, other than the music style, this is what most people complain about. Their kids don't like going. They probably don't like brushing their teeth either. They're too busy. Multiple service times should take care of this problem. They already do a lot of church stuff. Well, that may be true, but there is something unique about worshiping as a group. They aren't a fan of organized religion. The real reason here might be that it's just easier watching the streamed service at home. And finally, they don't feel weekly attendance is necessary. See Hebrews 10:25 for an answer to this reason for missing church. You know, if you see a lot of people rushing to get in on something and they're all excited, don't you wonder, okay, what am I missing out on? In this case, it's thousands of people joining MediShare. Just one of the reasons, think about this. MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. Honestly, this may be a game changer for you and your family. Find out more by calling 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
What is the church's primary mission? Is it redemptive or social or both?
Billy Graham.
We as Christians have two responsibilities. First, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only answer to man's deepest needs. And secondly, to apply as best we can the principles of Christianity to the social conditions about us.
In other words, Jesus calls his followers to be concerned with social justice and with sharing the hope that's found only in him.
I would call the church back today to its main task of proclaiming Christ and him crucified as the only panacea for the problems that face the world. Then the people would have the capacity to live up to the Christian command to love thy neighbor.
Learn more about loving your neighbor at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
You are singing the wrong song. I think you should listen to the flip side. Change your ways and stop doing wrong. And he will take you on that final ride.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Just taking a look outside. Yep. Just as I suspected, there is actually an outside of this window. Let's make sure we understand what is available for us to understand. School tuitions at KPRZ.com. Half price tuitions, not just school tuitions. If your private education is normally $4,000 through the half price tuitions, you can get it for $2,000. There's no raising of the prices, and then they give you, it's not how it works. The same price is on our website, same price at school, period. And you have an opportunity to get it for 50% off. Why? because then we give the full amount to the school for them to use in advertising and marketing. So they get the full boat, so they're not losing anything. They don't have an empty seat. You get a deal for half price, and we look pretty good. That's the facts. Nothing bizarro about that. It's just cool. So we encourage you to check it out, kprz.com under the tuitions tab. Don't forget about Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress, who will be on the show pretty soon. Monday through Friday is 11 a.m. Also, don't forget about Focus on the Family Adventures in Odyssey Weekend Family Getaway. Wow, I bet you can't say that in Yiddish sideways. All right, here. Didn't you ever hear that joke? You ever heard of Libby the Kid?
No.
Libby the Kid was a food, like a TV dinner.
Okay.
And it was for kids. So when Swanson had their TV dinners, this was actually a TV dinner for kids, and it had little kid stuff in it, like fish sticks or stuff like that. And so they had a little cartoon character named Libby the Kid, and he'd come out and he'd go, my name is Libby the Kid. That's Billy the Kid, spelled sideways, sort of.
That was their whole theme.
It was really quite funny. Good marketing. I still remember it, 45 years later. It's pretty good. Anyway, so Adventures in Odyssey, you can just go to kprz.com and type in the word adventure. And then you can sign up and you could win a free trip, VIP front row seats to a live event. Also, airfare, hotel, transportation, all in the Focus on the Family Adventure and Odyssey. You get to go to Colorado Springs. How cool is that? Wouldn't cost you a penny. Does cost you about 50 seconds. I think you can spare it. I'm going to go with it. Okay. All right, we'll do what's bugging me in the next segment. Let's talk about one of those things I was talking about. We talked about three good nails that I wanted to talk about. The first one is called Chosen by God. What do we have? Chosen by God when? What do we have for a sound?
You choose me?
It's a little bit of a choo-choo Charlie choose me thing, isn't it? You choo-choo choose me because I'm choo-choo Charlie? It's like, what I'm saying? It's got that lot of...
You choo-choo-choose me?
The other part is it sounds like a sneeze, right? Choo-choo-choo.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it just needs a little ah-ah-ah. Choo-choo-choo. Be like all together. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through... Poor tugboat Todd. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6 says this, "For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved." A lot of text there for me to tell you this. The first great nail that you should let inspire you, drive you in a direction, lead you, encourage you and inspire you is that you are chosen by God. Now, I am well aware of the theological difficulties that some people have on free will and election, predestination, and the opportunity for responsibility. I fully get it. But if you don't think God's involved in the process of choosing, then I'm going to go out on a limb and say you don't believe that he's all-knowing. Because if he's all-knowing, he'll know what you would choose in free will and then base things based on that. So there's no way that God doesn't know. But that's not – I didn't want to talk about that. I don't care about that. We argue that. They've been arguing that for a long, long time. Here is one thing you can absolutely know. That in his choosing of us, whether you think it was pre-free will or post-free will or simultaneous, whatever, he did it before the foundation of the world. So here's something that I want you to kind of grab a hold of. Wherever you're falling on the theological plane, before the foundation of the world was made. Now, you might be thinking, well, they're talking church foundation. Yeah, see, that's not what it says. Whether you're talking, foundation of the people of God, that's not what it says. What it says, and we don't have to change what it says because it boggles your mind. What it says is before the foundation of the world. You remember that whole thing in the beginning, God, the Genesis 1-1, and then he created the earth and the universe? So somewhere between the very first letter and the creation of the earth, somewhere in that process, God chose you before the foundation of the world. He elected and selected in some capacity you. Now, there's a lot of people out there that go, I can't believe he would do that because, you know, I haven't done anything. And God bless you, brother or sister, for having the right spirit and the right attitude about that. But that doesn't mean God didn't choose you. In fact, I'm going to ask you a question. You're a common sense person. Answer this. Would you spend eternity with somebody you didn't like? Would you do it? I'm going to spend the next trillion years with this person. I hate this person. Right? You're not going to spend eternity with somebody you want to spend eternity with. Yeah, God chose you. And one of the things that we need to remember is, one, we're accepted through the work of Jesus Christ. And everybody tries to get around that and say, well, you know, it's, you know, what about these people? What about these people? Yeah, yeah, you care so much you send money. You care so much you get an airplane and go see those people, right? Okay. Anyway, let's go back to the reality check. The reality check is that God chose you in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the earth. And you know what you can do? You can say, thank you. You can say, that's awesome. I appreciate it. I have had that opportunity where people did. I don't want to get mad, but, you know, some people don't want to be chosen by God. Some people don't want to participate with God. I understand. You know, that some people are, you know, just like, don't have, what have anything to do with it. And listen, I'm sorry that God didn't choose you. I apologize in a sense. I can't apologize. I'm just sorry that he didn't choose you. But for those of us he chose, get this, you were chosen before the foundation of the earth. You were so important to God that you were a part of the building of the planet. And they're like, oh, that's so rubbishy. Oh, those stupid Christians, those flat earthers. Oh, no, here's the great theology. Before there was the understanding of any cells by anybody anywhere, God knew you. And what's cooler is those same people that mock should be appreciative that God is an interlinear being living in the past, present, and future because he's not bound by time because he created time. And if they were really scientific-oriented people, they would love that because it's one of the coolest things ever. They'd all be happy if a super-duper alien came in. Well, there you go. Here's my point. You were chosen before the foundation of the earth because God wanted to choose you. It's not because you're super spectacular. You might even be semi-super spectacular. You're just not spectacular enough. And you might be one of those people that go, I am worthless. But you are not worthless because God has chosen you and has determined what your value is. And it's worthy in his mind to shed the blood of Jesus Christ for you. So putting all that stuff aside, the first great nail to hold on to is you need to know, not wonder, you need to know that you are chosen by God. Congratulations. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Charles Schulz, the creator of the famous Peanuts cartoons, had an interesting perspective on jogging for exercise. He said that while jogging is very good for our body, jogging was also good for the ground. Jogging makes the ground feel needed, he said. It makes an interesting point. When was the last time you asked someone to help you with a task, even though you were entirely capable of doing it alone? Feeling needed is important. Technically, God doesn't need us, yet he asks us to help him by serving others and by spreading the gospel. And we can do the same with others. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God needs you on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
When you hear these phrases, where does your mind take you? Strolling along the water's edge, a fresh breeze gently blows as you hear children laughing and playing. Shopping in an open marketplace where the rustle of people buying and selling mixes with the scent of freshly baked bread and music that tickles your ears and adds pep to your step. Traveling with like-minded people who embody your hopes and embolden your faith in a majestic and serene country. These experiences only scratch the surface when you join us in Israel for 9 breathtaking days this fall. Capture the wonder of the Bible coming to life as you take the trip of a lifetime to the Holy Land. Experience Israel in November 2017 like never before. See firsthand how the old and new combine to create a beautiful tapestry that will revitalize your faith. Become engulfed in the beauty of Mediterranean landscapes and culinary delights, all in the comfort of 4- and 5-star accommodations. For cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. That song, most people don't know this. I know this because I happen to be privy to the author and performer of that song. That song was written in Christian rehab. Then you go back and hear that song again, you're going to go, what? What? Very, very cool. Almost too moving. It's like, wow. All right, let's deal with a couple things. Don't forget KPRZ.com. Don't forget CrazyPriceMall.com. I don't know why people aren't using CrazyPriceMall.com. If you're looking to get some food and you want 50% off coupon, there it is. You can do that. I mean, you can do stuff like that. It's easy to do. CrazyPriceMall.com. Not hard. All right, let's get ready. We're going to have this brief discussion. I'm going to be very careful on how I humiliate myself here. Very careful indeed as I talk to you about E. coli, termite, and pest control. The powerful termite and pest control is gentle as a butterfly. And every time we say that, Todd pushes a button and the more flies and more bugs come in. And we have to do that all the time. E. coli, termite.com, 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Shout out to Sue Freeze, who's been a part of our show in and out for the whole 4.5 years, actually. It's pretty kind of nice. That's really good English. Here we go. This is what's bugging me. I'm going to be honest. Now that I'm getting older, I'm finding two real negative things happen. One, when I work out, it takes more energy to recover. I think most people can relate to that. But two, what the United States government failed to tell me is after you turn 50 that it's not the normal calories on the package when you eat anymore. In fact, when you're 50 plus and you eat, the calorie intake is 2 times what you read on the box because I just eat the same thing and keep getting fatter and I cannot figure it out. That's what's bugging me.
You had me going there.
I know. I had you rolling for a while. I should have done something like a invisible football. Do you know that I did that invisible hockey puck with Noah? Did you know what happened?
Yeah.
I said, do you know that story? I have the invisible hockey puck. I have it right here on my desk. And he actually in that seat stood up to see it. I am not kidding. And I said, what are you doing? Standing up? He's like, oh.
They're talking about the invisible ball that somebody came down to pick up.
Oh, no, what happened was the plant somebody came to pick up, somebody was called in and won, and we had an invisible football, and I said, I'm going to throw it to you, and he said, hold on, I got to roll down my window.
Our audiences, that's pretty slick.
That's pretty funny right there. All right, let's get to it. So we were talking about Scripture being inspiring, and Scripture is supposed to urge us, inspire us, encourage us, prompt us, move us into action. To urge us into action. And one of the things we talked about, one of the, kind of the foundational things, look, God chose you. The reason you can't get away with all the things that people around you get away with is specifically because God chose you. You know how other people could do certain things and get away with it, and it's like they never seem to get caught, but every time you do it, it's like there's a floodlight, and the alarm goes off, and it goes, woo, 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 busted, busted, busted. That's because you're chosen by God. God doesn't let his people get away with stuff. So that's a good sign, not a bad sign. Here's the second thing. You're going to find this one a little bit more challenging because I want to say it in a right way. The second thing, and we think we have a sound for this, right, is the second thing is to be aletheia or be real. All right, now what do you mean be real? What does that got to do with anything? How does that even apply? It's a great question. Let's look at the passage and understand where it comes from, because I want you to understand something. We are fantastic as Christians going around telling people they should repent, acting like we don't struggle or have problems, which I think is absurd. I think one of the reasons the church doesn't do as good a job of witnessing is they come off like everybody's overly holy or overly perfect. Hey, I'm not holy. I'm not perfect. I'm saved. That's what grace is all about. That's what forgiveness is all about. If I didn't need forgiveness, it means I'm doing stuff that doesn't need to be forgiven, right? If I don't need grace, if I don't need mercy, I'm never doing anything that puts me in the ballpark. But that's not the reality. The reality is that grace and mercy need to abound in our lives. And sometimes we present ourselves in such a way as to make us seem something different than we are. And so the story, I'm not even going to quote the story, I'm going to tell you the story. It's Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I just want you to catch what happens. I'll do three verses. A man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a piece of property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And then Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds from the field? You have not lied to men, but to God. There's a testimony right there, by the way, showing that the Holy Spirit is God, because he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, you lied to God. Boom. You can't lie to a power spirit. You can't lie to an electricity. All right? So if you have electricity, you don't lie to it. Doesn't make sense. Only to a person. But what Ananias did was try to come off better than he was. There's nowhere in this that it says Ananias was not a believer. I do not find that in Scripture. I see reservation in his commitment. I don't see him saying he's a non-believer. The whole thing was false. I'm not sure where you get that. But what I do get is that Ananias was trying to come off better than he was. And one of the things that Christians do by doing that is kind of insult God by trying to project an image. Remember when they used to have the Andre Agassi and he'd do the camera thing and it'd be image is everything? Image is the very thing that will get you in more trouble with God than almost anything else. Because the image you're trying to portray, you're not trying to portray that to God. You're never trying to portray that to God. Then who are you trying to portray that image to? Other people. And that means that you're living in the fear of man. Now, how sinful is that? Not in the respect of man, not in the help of man, in the fear of man. You want to be accepted by man, though man has no eternity to put you in. You want to be, have people have reverence for you. You want to have fame. You want to have power. You want to have money. It's like, I get it. Everybody goes through that process. You do want to be accepted. You do want to be loved. But sometimes you want a little extra cushion in the bank. Sometimes you want a little extra props. I get it. But if you have a life consistently living in this process where you're trying to create an image where people can be impressed with you, you're delusional, even if you're a Christian. I want my pastor to think highly of me. Well, when you stand before God, it's not your pastor that's going to pull out the inward sins, okay? It's God. And when we're trying to be something we're not, we create a whole new set of problems. I think it's hard enough just to be me. And I do this stuff, too. I do this, project an image, do this, do this. I try in the show a little bit to say, hey, I'm messed up, too. I remember one time, I shouldn't tell this story. This is going to get me a lot of trouble. This could be big trouble. Well, anyway, I was reading with my son in the room the qualifications. I think I've mentioned this maybe once before. The qualifications for a leader in church. So I'm reading 1 Timothy 3 and Titus, going through those qualifications. By the way, if you're trying to figure out why they're different, because Timothy was in Ephesus, a metropolitan area, and Titus was on Crete, a small island, which is why there are essentially eight less qualifications in the book of Titus. But that's not the point. The point is I'm reading this to my son and all these things that I'm supposed to be as a church leader. You know what he did when he heard them? He laughed. And all these things I'm supposed to be, there's my son, not old, by the way, laughing at me. You know what that told me? Wow, I messed up. It's like, that's what it told me. It's like, wow, my kid is calling me on the carpet just by laughing. Now, I have a lot of respect for our pastors and our ministers in the church at large, not one denomination over another. I think they're all of them are fantastic. But your mindset that makes you think that these men or even these women who are godly women, that they're super soldiers of the kingdom and never mess up. It is pitiful. It's ridiculous. It's like idol worship for the world when they're looking at Hollywood people. It's the same thing in the church. I mean, human beings in their sinful nature are prone to worship the wrong things in sinful nature. Look, these people are great. God bless them. If they make one mistake, everybody in the church freaks out. Oh! Name one apostle that didn't make a mistake. Name one person besides Jesus Christ that didn't make a mistake. Even Moses, as powerful as he was, got so mad at the people that when God said, speak to the rock, he went over and smacked the rock. And God said, you're not going in the promised land, bud. You're supposed to do what I say. So what I'm trying to bring up by that is just be real. It's not that you should flaunt failure. I don't believe that either. But it shouldn't be this fakeness. I mean, wasn't it really the idea that truthfulness is a part of why you came to Christ? Because you're just being honest, maybe for the first time in your life. And now that you've done that, you're going to change it? No way. The second good nail. First one is, remember, you're chosen by God. Chosen by God, accepted through the work of Jesus Christ. The second thing is, be real. Don't insult God. We come back, we'll hit up on the third thing, which is also, I think, pretty cool. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, we'll be back.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The hometown advantage. You can see it in that new shop down on Main Street, in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. It's because of people like Reggie in finance and Ruth, the paramedic. Keisha, the designer, has it, and so does Orlando, the nurse. They live around here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed. And that makes a difference. At HelpWantedSanDiego.com, we're proud to work the hometown advantage. We work it around the clock, connecting local employers and local job seekers with local jobs they're good at, jobs they deserve. Post your job today and search a database of resumes to find, select, and hire the best local employees. Employees who live close by, close to family and friends, close to home. That's the hometown advantage. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
Creation is filled with signs that point to the Creator.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by David Roper. David writes, one day many years ago, my boys and I were lying on our backs in the yard watching the clouds drift by. Dad, one asked, why do clouds float? Well, son, I began, intending to give him the benefit of my vast knowledge, but then I lapsed into silence. I don't know, I admitted, but I'll find out for you. The answer I discovered is that condensed moisture, descending by gravity, meets warmer temperatures rising from the land. That moisture then changes into vapor and ascends back into the air. Now, that's the natural explanation for the phenomenon. But natural explanations are not final answers. Clouds float because God in His wisdom has ordered the natural laws in such a way that they reveal the wonders of Him who has perfect knowledge. Clouds then can be thought of as a symbol, an outward and visible sign of God's goodness and grace in creation. David concludes, "So someday when you're taking some time to see what images you can imagine in the clouds, remember this. The one who made all things beautiful makes the clouds float through the air. He does so to call us to wonder and adoration. The heavens, even the cumulus stratus and cirrus clouds, declare the glory of God." We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All right, we've been talking about understanding that Scripture helps us teaches us the words of the wise are like goads and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. So we've been picking out a couple of nails to look at. The first one we talked about was being chosen by God. The second one was to be real. That's what grace and mercy are all about, the proclamation of the gospel of peace. Why? Because we mess up. So we need help. We have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about being chosen by God. That's good to remember. Being real, that's good to remember. Now the third thing we're going to talk about, which we have a sound for, is called Hanging On to Humility.
All right. Hang on.
Hang on. Hang on tight.
Hang on.
Hang on.
That's right. The idea here is to hang on. Why? Well, let's talk about what happens when you don't hang on to humility, how this works. There was a guy named Ahab. I'm not talking about the guy with the whale. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, the Lord says this: "I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha and Ahijah, because you provoked my anger and caused Israel to sin." The Lord also speaks of Jezebel. "The dogs will eat Jezebel in the plot of land in Jezreel. He who belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And he who dies in the field, the birds of the sky will eat. Still, there was no one like Ahab who devoted himself to do what was evil in the Lord's sight because his wife Jezebel incited him. He committed the most detestable acts by going after idols as the Amorites had, whom the Lord had dispossessed before the Israelites. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put sackcloth over his body and fasted. He lay down in sackcloth and walked around subdued. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? I will not bring the disaster during his lifetime because he has humbled himself before me." Let me explain to you that Ahab was A1 bad on every level you can come up with. He was not actually as bad as Manasseh. Manasseh was the worst, but Ahab is number two when you're going through Scripture. Worst king in the king of Israel. Just terrible, terrible, terrible king. And so the Lord said, "You know what? I'm not happy, and I'm going to take it out on you because you are going so far overboard. I'm not putting up with this." When Ahab heard what was going to happen, what did Ahab do? He did something that's crucial. He humbled himself. And when he humbled himself and subdued himself before the Lord, and you know in that humility and being subdued before the Lord that there was a sorrow for his action, doesn't take a brain or genius to figure that out, that the Lord extended mercy to him, even though he was like the worst of the worst. Oh my goodness, this guy's terrible. But because he humbled himself before the Lord gave him a reprieve, a grace. And let me explain to you that Scripture makes it clear that we are encouraged to humble ourselves before the Lord. It is true, in fact, that if you do not operate in humility, God is more than able to help you in that process, but we are encouraged to do it on our own. But the thing for us to remember is we need to hang on to humility. So let's say you do something great. Let's say you do something fantastic. Let's say you plug a hole where there's been a big leak in somebody's life and work and some kind of position. You've done a great thing. You said it right. You did it right. You functioned right. You coordinated right. It's all right. And everybody said, yeah, you did it great. You did it great. You did it great. If we don't hang on to humility but get a puffed head, this is what happens. When Peter gave that great confession about Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Man, that confession was so good. It was fantastic. But Peter was so impressed with his own answer that the very next story, when Jesus says the Son of Man's going to have to die, Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes Peter, or rebukes Jesus, because Peter's like, "I've got the answers now. I just did really good. So Jesus, I'm going to tell you how this goes." And he got a puffy head. And that next statement Jesus had made to Peter was, "Get behind me, Satan." So Peter went from fantastic answer to a puffy head to "get behind me, Satan." That's from the throne room to the bathroom in about a chapter. You understand? Well, we have to hang on to humility. You might do something fantastic, and by golly, I hope you do. I hope you do great things all the time. But when you do great things, you need to recognize immediately that at that moment, hanging on to humility is key. Because if you let yourself get a puffy head, disaster can be awaiting you. It's not that the Lord would disown you. It's not that you would lose your salvation. It's just you're asking God to smack you. And I don't know why you would do that. Ahab, as evil as he was, as bad as he was, as perverted as he was, as detestable as he was, when the Lord was not happy and he heard it from the prophet, he was like, "Oops," and owned it. And we have a saying around here that I've been saying for a long time, and we've been saying on the show since we started the show. If the Lord's feeding you humble pie, eat it. Eat it and eat all of it, and eat it plenty and eat it fast, and stop trying to fight it, because when you take that position of humility, you gain that favor from God. You gain that extension. Again, not talking salvation, not talking anything that has to do with your eternity. I'm talking about what the Lord may or may not allow in your life. If you are humble before the Lord can prevent disaster as well as bring blessing. But if you're in the agitation mode, if you're trying to irritate God, if you're trying to tell God you're full of pride because of who you are, and you'll just stand up there and tell the world, you can count on something coming your way. It's called a divine 2x4, and right in the head, you're going to get smacked. Don't do that. Humble yourself. If you have to operate in pride in everything you do, you're full of sin and should repent. As Jesus declared. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break. You'll hear Marty, then we'll be back for more. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.